Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Welcome into the playbook for a Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots.com radio. I'm John Rook. What is this negativity that you seem to be thinking that we're talking about here? Where has this negativity come from? Really? Seriously? Are these people that largely don't listen to the playbook and only, you know, want to rag on, you know, during the postgame show? I'm curious to find out, you know, who or where you may be. Show yourselves today. Let's talk about this for a second. What negativity are we talking about here? In all honesty, I have no earthly idea what you're talking about. None. Zero.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Thank you, Rick Pitino. I'm not sure where you're coming from. So if you can find me a specific issue or a specific moment, then I would be very happy to address it with you. We could even, you know, get into a little tete-a-tete if you want to here. It makes no difference to me one way or the other. It's just, you know, one person's opinion, right? If it has to do with Brady's performance, you know, and getting ready to kind of ride him under the bus a little earlier in the year, well, you know, I've made myself very clear on this subject, and I would be happy to go over it again, but I'm sure that there are many of you, in fact, I would say the overwhelming majority of you, don't want to go that direction again, because it really wouldn't do any good at this point in time. But just to refresh your memory, if we need to do that, we can do that today. I'm willing to go anywhere you want to go. Fact is that 5 weeks ago, this team was 2-2 after that Monday night beatdown and was going nowhere. And for legitimate reasons, everybody was getting called out on the carpet. I don't think that's negative. It's because this team has the interest and the following that it does. And so you have to call it as you see it. That's what we do. That's part of our job here. Calling it as we see it, we give you a little of our opinion, and the reason that we give you our opinion is because we've been around the game long enough, and we've been around this team long enough to give you what we think would be considered educated opinion. You don't have to agree with it. In fact, it makes for very boring radio most of the time when you do agree with it. What I'm looking for is, if you're disagreeing, great. Tell me why. Let's have a conversation about it. If you're agreeing with me, that's fine. Tell me why. Let's have a conversation about it. But don't just dismiss it as saying, oh, you know, hey, Rook, you're ragging on them, and now they whip Denver. Well, I believe, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, I picked the Patriots to win this week, did I not? Yes, he's shaking his head up and down. Yes, he is. I did select the Patriots to win the game. So I'm not sure where you want me to go with this. Now, like you, I'm just as, and believe me, I know you were, but like you, I was just as surprised as to the margin of the outcome as anybody. I mean, no one expected, you know, no one expected the score. And we did not have another winner again this week. I don't think anybody picked 43-21, did they? No. So no winners again this week in the playbook yearbook contest predicting the score. Here we are 9 weeks through the season, and we're entering the bye week here, and nobody's gotten it right yet. We had 5 winners all of last year, and they all happened in the same week. Because we had a typical, I think it was a 24-17 score or whatever it was. And so that's what ended up happening a year ago. Nobody's won yet. And because this is a bye week and there's no Patriot game to predict for next Sunday, we're going to have to come up with a prediction Thursday, Kev, I think. We're going to have to pick a game or some kind of an event, I think, to come up with a prediction Thursday for this week. Oh, we're going to have some good fun this week. Just because this is a bye week doesn't mean that, you know, the action stops inside the Patriots playbook. Oh, no. Today is, of course, hashtag Nitpick Tuesday, as I mentioned. So as you begin to, you know, recap a bit in your own mind, you look back with about 48 hours now of retrospect over the big win against Denver. Time to sort out your own nitpicks. Where you think this team can still improve, what you liked, what you really didn't like, that would be considered a legitimate nitpick. Something that's been kind of nagging at you, maybe something that you've seen that, you know, needs to have some attention to it. Whatever your observation is, I want you to play analyst. You get your chance to be Phil Sims, or you get your chance to be Troy Aikman, or whoever it is that's sitting next to the play-by-play chair. I want you to be the analyst. That's why we have Nitpick Tuesday, because I know that there are intelligent, reasonable, thinking, reasoning football fans, Patriot fans listening to this program that do know some of what they're talking about, if not all of what they're talking about. I give a lot of you a lot of credit, and I've called you as such for a number of years here on this program. I have one favorite emailer that has been with this program for the entire 14 seasons that we've been doing this show. Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. You know who you are. Guy is absolute money most of the time. He's absolute money most of the time with his thoughts, with his emails, with his analysis. He's a very astute football fan. In fact, I would say that if I didn't know any better, he probably has a job analyzing, you know, film or you know, for either a team or a radio station or television network or a producer. He's something because he's that solid. He's almost Russell Baxter-esque, our backs, you know, backs football guru that we have here on Thursdays in the playbook. So if you're good, I'm going to let you know you're good. We got a couple of phone callers that call in somewhat regularly that also are pretty doggone good as far as their interpretation of what is going on. I give you a lot of credit. There's a lot of times that you tell me things here on the show that either goes whoosh right over my head and I miss altogether, or bing, it lights the light bulb up over my head, cartoon character-ish style. And it brings something to light that, frankly, I wasn't aware of or had forgotten. And so that's why I give you all the credit. You guys get all the credit. So now that's why we do Nitpick Tuesday. That's a large reason why. And of course, as I've said all along, and this is the reason we started nitpicking years ago on this program and have devoted an entire day to, you know, the subject. It's because, frankly, as New England sports fans, we like to, you know, pick on things until, you know how you know, I hate to use this gross analogy, but I'm going to use it, Kev. You know how you get a little scab on your leg or on your arm or something like that, and it gets itchy when it starts healing, and you start scratching at it, and then you kind of pick at it, and maybe you pick that scab before it's really ready to be picked, and then you open the wound up all over. That's what we do here. That's nitpicking, in a sense. That's what we're doing. We're picking at the scab, the wounds that are left over from the previous game. And if, you know, if we didn't do that, then quite frankly, we'd have a lot of scabs left over and maybe things wouldn't ever heal. It's time for us to pick at those scabs and see if we can't help heal them up. That's really kind of what we do. New England sports fans do this as well as anybody. Like I've always said, you know, and I've said this a couple of times, I think, already this year, but, you know, hey, New Englanders are really, really tough on their teams. In fact, New Englanders, you want to go back to the Revolutionary War in 1776, New Englanders will tell you, hell, we should have beaten the Redcoats back in 72. So, I mean, there's always something to complain about. Always. And it's what New England sports fans do better than any group of fans in the country. Now, you know, as far as toughness, rudeness, brutalness, you could certainly, you know, put Philadelphia up there. You could put New York up there. Maybe when it comes to just football, you could put some spots in the South up there as well. But in terms of, you know, just nitpickiness, not being able to enjoy the spoils of victory, I put New England sports fans right up there on top of any other group of sports fans in the country. And so because so many of you are that listen to this program are transplants, I want you to feel a little like you're home when you're here. And for those of you that are just fans from afar, I want to give you a taste of what it's really like to be here, living here, working here, playing here, following your favorite team here. What it's like a little to listen to, you know, sports radio in the Boston and Providence areas as well. This is what we do. This is why we give you a little taste of that. And so nitpicks are what New Englanders do as well as anybody else. And, you know, and we've got some of those. You know, in my View from Above column on Patriots.com today, you know, my number one nitpick is a nitpick that I've had almost every week through the 9 weeks that the regular season began. I think I left it off 2 weeks ago because I thought I was starting to beat a dead horse and beating my head against a brick wall. Here's a good analogy. Beating my head against the brick wall and starting to bleed. But I led off with it as my chief nitpick from Sunday. It's hard to think that a 43-21 of the previously best named or best most talented team in the NFL, a 43-21 win over the former number one team in the NFL. It's hard to believe there'd be anything at all to nitpick, right? It's hard to find mistakes. Hard, but listen, you really get down to it, and you go through it a little bit. And even if you don't, maybe you're just a casual fan, and you know you've had a couple of days now to think back in your own head about where this game has gone and what this game, what's the lasting impression you're left with in the game. And I would say that, all right, well, if you really not into it that much, your first impression is going to be, well, Brady beat Manning. Would that be a fair assessment? I mean, if you're just a marginal fan, but you do know a little about the NFL, and you're going to say, well, it was Brady versus Manning for the 16th time. Brady beat Manning again. So he's now 11-5 against Peyton all-time in quote-unquote head-to-head matchups, even though they don't ever face each other head-to-head on the field. But nevertheless, his team versus their team and what have you. That's the first thing you're thinking of. So, you know, that's pretty spectacular in its own right. But then you're also going to be thinking, well, you know, there were some drops in the game and there were some penalties in the game. And even Brady himself said in the post-game interview that, wow, we left a lot of points out there off the scoreboard. We left a lot of points out there on the field. And so there you go. Bang, bang, bang. Three nitpicks right in a row. It wouldn't take much to get you thinking and get you started on coming up with negatives. And we don't do it just to be negative. Maybe that's some of the complaining about negativity with this show. I don't know, and I'm really hoping that I can address this with some of you today. But those of you that would call into the postgame show, I would venture that most of the people that call in the postgame show have never called into this show before. And if you have called into the postgame show to complain and you're listening now, please tell me why. Just tell me why. Pick up the phone or send me an email, send me a tweet, hit me up on Facebook, whatever is easiest for you. You know, tell me why. Why you think it's negative. I'd love to engage you in this particular discussion today. All right, so my number one nitpick still lies with the penalty flags being thrown. 9 penalties for 71 more yards. And I got to thinking for a moment. I said, you know, wow, in the overall scheme of things, geez, they won by 22, and yet you're picking the nits on penalty flags. And I'm like, okay, I can understand why someone would say that it's not that big a deal because this team is 7-2, and the penalties really, in the overall big picture, haven't meant much yet. Key word here being yet. Because when you get down to crunch time and when you consider – you know, the next 4 games that this team has following the bye week, 3 of them on the road now. This is easily, I mean, you're by Denver, but you had Denver at home. 3 of the next 4 on the road, and it starts at Indianapolis week after this next. And then you got to go to Green Bay and to San Diego, although San Diego doesn't look quite as formidable now as they might have, say, oh, I don't know, this time a week ago. But I got to tell you, this is still the major chunk of the season right here, laying right in front of his kids like so much carpet on your living room floor. This is it. And so when you get into games on the road, what is one of the more defining factors of whether or not you win or you lose? give you a second to think about it. Quite frankly, it's mistakes, and whether or not you make them or you don't, right? I mean, turnovers, miscues, mistakes, errors. Now, the Patriots lead the NFL in the giveaway takeaway. They are plus 12 through 9 weeks. So they're averaging better than one turnover more, forcing one more than they give of their opponents. That's number one in the NFL, and they were plus one on Sunday. They forced two turnovers, and Brady threw the one pick, so that leaves them plus one for the game. It would certainly behoove the Patriots to continue that trend, playing three of these next four on the road. But the penalties are what are going to come back to bite them in the rear end, especially the false starts on offense. Now, I think we can all agree that we like the improved play thus far of the offensive line. That's one of the improvements. Not a lot to really nitpick there, although, you know, I think Solder got bull rushed once by DeMarcus Ware. I think that's what led to the one sack of Brady. You know, but overall, and there were a couple of penalties on Brian Stork, the center. Things that you can generally, you know, I think will probably happen in the overall scheme of things during the course of a 60-minute game. But nevertheless, some of these little things start piling up a little bit, and then when you get into a situation where you have emotion on the home team side, you're on the road, the little things start counting, and let's just say maybe, just maybe, you're not clicking in all cylinders like you have been in offense over the last 5 weeks. And the other team is full of piss and vinegar, as you like to call it, and as the saying goes, and they're after you emotionally. And all of a sudden, now you find yourself in a ball game. Find yourself in a ball game, and you got a drive going, and you commit a penalty that knocks you back 5 yards, or you hold and it knocks you back 10 yards, or it was on a third down conversion and it's holding and it's called back for a 10-yard penalty, and then you don't convert on third and long. And it looked like it could be a scoring drive. These are the things that really start adding up at this time of season. And so that's why that was my number one nitpick again. And I'd say out of the previous 9 weeks, I'd have to go back and look at the columns that I've written, but I'd say out of the previous 9 weeks, penalties, flags, hankies on the field, hey, hey, hey. Hankies on the field, probably the number one nitpick at least in five or six of them. The Patriots are number two in total penalties called against in the NFL. Pittsburgh has 80 flags accepted. New England has 79 flags accepted. The Patriots are, however, number one in penalty yardage. Almost 700 yards of total offense erased because of penalties in 9 games. Do the math. That's almost 80 yards a game, kids. Almost 80 yards a game. Almost 10 penalties, 9 penalties, roughly for 80 yards per game on average in 9 weeks for your New England Patriots. That is going to come back and bite them, and bite them hard if they don't clean it up. All right, that's what I'm talking about in terms of nitpicks. I got a couple of others that I will share with you. I would love to hear from you. But I also have a question of the day that I want to throw out at you that I'd love for you to consider. And those of you that have fired off your nitpicks with emails and tweets and things like that already, feel free to email and tweet back again. If you're on the phones waiting to get onto the program, hang on to that. I'll give you a minute to think about this as well so you contribute here as well. Facebook posters, come back at me again as well if you want to. But I don't know if you saw where the ESPN.com NFL writing staff, the beat writers for each of the NFL teams. There's 32 of them employed by ESPN.com. Of course, Mike Reese is ESPN Boston. He's technically the quote-unquote Patriots beat guy. Mike Rodak, who's a former byproduct of Patriots.com and also ESPN Boston, he's the Buffalo Bills beat reporter for ESPN.com now. Just to give you a couple of examples, you probably know some of these guys or know of them. ESPN.com did a poll, a mid-season MVP poll on their Sports Nation app or whatever they have. I don't even know what it's called. NFL Nation, Sports Nation, whatever it is. And of their NFL beat writers, half of them, 16 of them, voted Tom Brady in as the mid-season NFL MVP. DeMarco Murray from the Cowboys finished second with 7. Peyton Manning was third with 5. Rob Gronkowski also got a vote. And I actually thought that they underscored Rob Gronkowski a little bit. And the guy that voted for Gronk was actually Mike Reese. Just in case you hadn't seen that. Now, my question for you is not NFL midseason MVP. But because of all of the things that we've talked about through the first half of this football season, you know, mostly a lot of it is because of this team's start. And so I'm sure it did sort of tend to be somewhat negative, even for those of you that love to wave the pom-poms, woo-hoo, and don't like to look at things analytically. That, you know, the Patriots, your team, come hell or high water, you root for them, win or lose. I get that, and that's great, and all comers are welcome here. And that's perfectly fine. There's a place for, you know, cheerleaders, and there's a place also for football fans who try to look at it a little bit more down the middle. So regardless of which side of the fence you fall on, my question to you is, who's the Patriot midseason MVP? Now, it could be Tom Brady. For a lot of you, it probably will be Tom Brady. But because of all of the names that we've talked about this year, improved performances, needed improvements, we've seen a lot of improvements from a lot of players over the course of the last 5 weeks. This team has now won 5 in a row and jettisoned itself back into prime Super Bowl contention. I don't think I'm jumping the gun by saying that. Patriots right now have to be, you know, certainly co-favorites with the Broncos in the AFC right now. Have to be considered because they have the meeting with the Broncos head-to-head. I mean, you could certainly still make a case, I guess, for Kansas City because they waxed the Patriots, but that was, of course, before the Patriots got on this streak. You could even, I think, make a case for Miami, but because Miami licked them in the season opener, even though the Dolphins are a game and a half behind the Patriots in the AFC East standings. I don't know that you can make a case for anybody else right now, but that would be about it. So put the Patriots right now, just say, we'll be generous, co-favorites in the AFC. In the NFC right now, Arizona's got the top spot in my imagination. They got the best record. They're 7-1. How can they not be? Dallas has fallen by the wayside. Seattle, San Francisco. Seattle's 5-3. San Francisco's 4-4. New Orleans is coming on strong, but they're just 4-4. How about Green Bay? How about Detroit? And I believe Detroit's, you know, lying in wait about 1, 2, 3 weeks away from now. And Green Bay to follow right after that. So at least they put themselves back in that position. But there has to be more than just one person, right, that's responsible for the Patriots' resurgence through the last 5 weeks. So even though technically we were at the midseason point last week, you could also call this part of that midseason week because there are 17 weeks in the regular season because you have the bye week included. So this is as good a spot as any. You know, to have your bye week, half the season's completed, you got 8 games done, 9 games done, you got 7 more left to go before the playoff push, right? Halfway point, who in your estimation is the midseason MVP for the Patriots? Who has meant more in your estimation to the Patriots' resurgence right now than anybody? And maybe, just even maybe, this is a player that was actually getting the job done in the opening month of the year in September when the Patriots were stumbling and bumbling their way to a 2-2 start. But this was a guy that was still doing his job. You know, the do-your-job towels that were sent out here at the stadium this week? That's what all the towels were waving in the stands. If you're watching the game on television, you're wondering what they were. One of our sponsors, Do Your Job. That's what it said on the towel. Maybe you have identified a player who has been doing his job since day one that deserves mention as the Patriot midseason MVP. That's what I'm looking for from you today, as well as your nitpicks here in the playbook. Your Patriot midseason most valuable player. All right, you know the drill, but just in case you're a newbie, 855-PATS-500. That's the toll-free telephone number. 855-PATS-500 rings right through anywhere in the world you're calling from. 855-PATS-500. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. You can find me on Twitter very easily. I thank you for all the new follows over the course of the last week. If you're not aboard, come on aboard, @JRBroadcaster. JR Broadcaster on Twitter. And if you're not a Facebook friend, you can do it if you like. Just submit the friend request if you haven't done that. And we'll answer it here, and then you can post on the Facebook page. It's my own personal Facebook page. Not a fan page, not a Patriots page. It's my own personal page. But I'm happy to talk to football fans, whether it's during the show or whether it's even during off hours, because I recognize that I have a lot of people who are Facebook friends that live in other parts of the globe, which is really pretty cool. I like that. And so I know that, hey, your prime time isn't necessarily my prime time. But during the show, if you're listening to the program, we can chat live, or you can always leave a comment on the Facebook page, and that's how we handle it. So it's John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the spelling of the last name, and that's where you find me on Facebook. So there's four different ways to get in contact with the program and to let your feelings be known, whether it's midseason MVP, just a plain old nitpick, or something else on your mind. And what is it with all this stinking negativity that I guess I'm getting killed for in the postgame show? First of all, I'm flattered for the attention. Second of all, I'd like to know where the heck it's coming from. So you got plenty of things to talk about today here in the playbook. It's bye week, but it is also still Nitpick Tuesday, and we are going to have some fun for the remainder of the week. We'll talk more about that coming up in the next hour. Going to open it up here with Todd in Toronto, who's been kind enough to hang on since the PFW guys left us. Todd, you're going to lead it off here in the playbook today.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, Todd.
So this is going to be a little bit long, so I'll apologize now. I'll start off really quick. My pick is me. Man, I lost my belief, John.
Your belief?
Oh, yeah. I was watching Vince for the first little while. He looked like he was here to collect a paycheck and didn't really give a damn. Brady looked like he was physically and mentally 10 years older than he really is.
Yeah.
So he's my age.
Yeah.
And all of the stuff that I was watching the team, there didn't seem to be any leadership. Nobody seemed to be stepping up. I was thinking, oh, this is the year. This is the year when everything just hits the brick outhouse, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
And yeah. I was wrong. I know the PFW guy's kind of an apology because I got snarky towards them, so I figured, you know, I was going to give them the mea culpa. But this makes it easier, John, to say it to you because you're a lot nicer.
Well, Todd, I think I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, and I can quote what happened after the game.
Okay.
I listened to the thing, and the guy was saying, oh, you want to trade Brady, John, you bleepity bleep bleep. They didn't say the bleepy parts, but you knew that it was written there.
Yeah.
And, you know, are you still up for that? What's wrong with you? You have no faith, blah, 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 which actually got me thinking about myself. The caller was, I think, a little bit celebratory in state.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he was excited about that, and he was just looking to shout. So that's kind of where I think your negativity was coming from. And, of course, once you get one person in a celebratory state heading down a certain road,
then
everybody
others
falls.
Are going to jump on the bandwagon. Hey,
yeah.
All right, you know what, Todd? Let me address that for a second.
Okay.
Because, frankly, I mean, yeah, you know, look, if anybody has any doubts at all about how I feel about Tom Brady, all they have to do is read my column today, The View from Above, here on Patriots.com. Just go read it. Okay, and then that should answer all the questions that you have. Because my job here is, while, you know, I tend to probably, some may think I tend to side toward negativity, that's not what I'm doing at all. What I'm doing is trying to keep it down the middle of the road. I'm trying to keep all the pom-pom waivers from dominating the discussion here, because that's not what this is about. Pom-pom waivers are certainly welcome, okay?
Yep.
And I want fans, and I want die-hard, unmitigated, unadulterated Patriot red, white, and blue, and silver fans to be on this bandwagon and be a part of the playbook and jump on board and everything. But what I also want is serious football discussion. And when your team stinks, you got to say so. Doesn't mean you don't love them.
But they stink. Yeah.
But they stink, and here's how we got to fix it. And that's why we have nitpicks. This is why we do it. And so the idea here is to have football discussion, because some of us like football discussion. Some of us live for football discussion. Some of us appreciate the sport as much as anything there is that we have to do. And football in this country, as you very well know, even though you're in Toronto, you understand that football is very serious in America.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And football is by far and away now the number one sport in the United States. It's not even close with baseball anymore. And football is catching on internationally. You know it in Canada. I even follow the CFL from time to time. I love to watch it. So I got to tell you, you know, it's not going to go anywhere in terms of popularity, and there are people that take it seriously, and there are fantasy, you know, leagues and fantasy companies out there that allow you to win thousands, if not millions of dollars, because so many people are into it. Football is big business as well.
Yep.
And my idea here is just to let's see if we can't straighten it out a little bit. It's fine to say, oh, I love the Patriots, but you know what? We're also going to look at the other side too, because we have to. And that's kind of what we do here.
I totally agree. And it makes sense. And I'm a lot more comfortable with going on. Brady seems to have realized that he had, you know, some headspace issues and some other things. And I don't know. I think I was a little too impatient for a lot of the members on this team coming back from injuries. Mm-hmm. I really think that I just did not give them enough time because, you know, Vince is, what, 34?
Yes.
Come back from that.
Actually, today's his birthday. What is he, 33 or 34, Kev? Thought he was 33, maybe. I think he's 33. By the way, it's also Brandon LaFell's birthday, too, right?
Yep.
I believe so. So happy birthday to both those guys. Okay. Go ahead. Cool. I'm sorry. I digress.
Those injuries, I think I wasn't patient for it because, you know, I'm cheered for the Patriots in 74, so I don't want the good thing to end and ever the team to kind of regress to some of these years previous.
Yeah.
And I don't think I had the patience. I still say, and the PFW guys hate me for saying this, I still say we need a running game. I think we need to have a running threat, especially in the playoffs towards the end of the year when everybody's a little banged up, everybody's a little hurt,
mm-hmm.
and you just need to be able to pound the ball a little bit at somebody just to give your guys a break and to make sure that their defense is honest. And that'd be my one nitpick with this team right now is I still think they need to, you know, they're passing it all over the field. They still need to find some way to have a running game.
You know? That's a good nitpick, Todd. It's a good one. It's a legitimate one, too. You know, I think actually that they're giving Jonas Gray every opportunity to take that job.
Yep.
I would argue that, you know, anybody would have probably had short of, you know, probably someone, you know, short of Adrian Peterson would have had a hard time running through, you know, what the holes that were provided on Sunday because Denver's just good up front.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not so sure that anybody would have had a heck of a lot more success than Gray had on Sunday. Sunday's game was a day to pass the football. It's that simple. I don't disagree with the fact that they are going to need a run game at some point in time. And clearly part of the reason that, you know, the running game, even though it doesn't show a lot in the numbers, but the running game was still important on Sunday because the Broncos bit pretty hard on play action.
Yeah,
and so those linebackers that bit hard on play action were part of the reason that Gronk and company were able to get open over the middle. So even though you don't necessarily turn out the yards, you got to have the threat. And I would say that the Patriots at least have the threat. But before too long, you're going to have to figure out a way to get one or two tough yards. And that, I think, is part of the process here because I'm not entirely confident that they can get that one or two tough yards probably that you're referring to.
Yeah, that was my next nitpick was the fact that, yeah, I want an aggressive team. If it's fourth and it's a yard, hell, if it's fourth and two, I want Brady and the rest of that offense to be able, yeah, this is 2 yards, let's go get it.
Right.
And just go out there and do it. I don't really like, I hate to say this, but I agree with Paul Perillo. Anyway, I'll probably have to go to church now and get that out of my system. But, yeah, the gimmicks are bullshit. Get rid of it. Don't do it. Just find a way to get some sort of jumbo package up there and beat the crap out of that defensive line.
Absolutely.
That's the other reason why you need a running game.
Absolutely. That's true. Yeah, you got to do away with the gimmicky stuff. I totally agree with that. Let's just man up and just bust some chops.
Yep. Well, that's all I had. Just thank you for letting me get rid of that. And, yeah, I probably won't call in tomorrow to tell the PFW guys that. So if you could just leave a sticky note somewhere. And
absolutely, Todd.
Let them know. That'd be great.
My pleasure. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. That's good stuff. Our buddy Steve in Killeen, Texas. Oh, no. Oh, Steve, that's my bad. Hey, Kevin. It may have been a little glitch here in the call screener system, but I hit air and his call disconnected. So if you would let Steve and Killeen. Yeah, that may even be him calling right back right now. I almost don't want to touch it. Is that him? That's not him? Okay.
Must have a bad cell.
All right. Had bad cell? All right. Anyway, Steve, my apologies. That one's on me, brother, so when you call back, I'll get you on the program. Let's go with Noel in Denver. Hopefully this works. Noel, you with us?
Hey, John.
Hey, there you are. All right. Well, that time it worked. Thank you.
What's that?
Go ahead. I just hit what I thought was the right button, and I hung up on somebody. So.
Oh, you're such a negative guy, man, to do that and apologize to the dude. You know?
I know.
I think the PFW is the negative ones, but I don't listen to the post-game shows. But I cannot find a negative in you anywhere. So
I appreciate you saying that, but that's okay, because even if you did say I was negative, you have a right to your opinion. That's okay. It's just that I think that sometimes I go to the other side because there's so many pom-pom waivers out there. And that's not what...
Well, I'm one of those homers, but I, let me give you my nitpick, if you don't mind.
Go ahead. Okay? Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with our teams. It just has to do with the announcers that announce Patriot games. And Jim Nance might as well marry Peyton Manning, I swear. at least Phil tries a little bit to give Brady credit, but Jim Nance, he can find a way to down the Patriots in any way, shape, or form. And, I don't know if anybody else sees that, but the national media doesn't give the Patriots their due most of the time.
But that's okay. So, you know what, Noel? That's frankly, I think that's okay because, listen, when you've been on top for as long as the Patriots have been on top, and let's face it, they have, still got the whole dynastic type of feel to them, even though they haven't won a world championship in 10 years. But, they still have been competitive. They're still in the conversation every year. They're still going to be one of the top three or four teams in the AFC every year. You can almost count on it. It didn't look like 5 weeks ago that was going to be the case this year, but clearly they've come roaring back. And so because of that, people have a tendency to overlook them, and that's okay. Okay, that's fine. I'd rather have it that way than be the hot upcoming new team that everybody wants to buzz and talk about, because generally that means you hadn't never talked about them before.
Oh, I agree totally. I'm just in love with what's going on right now, and I've been watching them since 1960, and my pick for the MVP is and always will be at this point in time, and I love Gronk, and I love what we're doing. Is always going to be Tom Brady, because what he did last year to take us to the AFC Championship was nothing but unbelievable. And he just finds a way to just make everyone else get better.
Well, he has done that, and I certainly can understand why you would favor him. I'll give you my thoughts on who my pick would be for the Patriot MVP coming up in just a little bit, but I want to kind of see where the fans are going to go with this and see if anybody else is thinking the way that I am.
That's wonderful. I'm enjoying your show. I don't want to take up a lot of time. I know you get a lot of callers probably, but that area right there is, I think Tom Brady is just phenomenal. I also think that the guys said we need to run. And there's not very many, Terrell Davises or Corey Dillons out there or Arian Fosters. And I think Jurnus Gray is going to be a tough runner given time. And I think Vereen, that's what he did in college.
Yeah.
We're going to set up. I think we should just do what we always did.
Yeah.
Set up the run by passing the ball.
Well, so that's anyway. Certainly one way to do it. And I know you're living large this week in Denver, right, Noel?
Oh, I've been living large every week in Denver. I picked this 38-28. I wasn't too far off. I just haven't seen from Denver what everybody else was looking at. But then again, I'm not saying they're a bad team. They're a very, very good football team. But I think to watch the way the Patriots are going, what Vince said on WEEI yesterday is that this could be a very scary team.
Yep.
And
I agree.
I'm excited. I hope every other Pat fan in the nation is excited as well.
So. I agree with you, Noel. Good stuff,
thanks,
my man.
Thanks, John. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great day, sir.
Yes, sir. You too. I totally agree with you. I was thinking that very same thing in the second half Sunday. When the Patriots were trying to extend the lead, or Denver was trying to come back, and then they're extending the lead, and I'm thinking, man, this is scary good. Wow. I had almost, completely different way of thinking from about this time a month ago. Steve and Colleen, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's up, John?
Sorry, I must have hit the wrong button accidentally.
No worries. I know that you're getting negative, and that just happens sometimes.
I deserve that.
No, it's all good. It's John Rook from Providence, Rhode Island, to the heart of Patriots play-by-play. It's Rook with an E for excellence.
There you go, my friend. Thanks, I think.
but channeling my inner guru real quick.
Yes, sir.
Prior to this week's game, there was only one team that had scored more points in the NFL than the New England Patriots, and that would be the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
The Broncos are actually behind them. And right now I have a sense of deja vu. So, and maybe Russell Baxter can help us on Thursday with this, or Wednesday if he's in. Were we 7-2 at the bye last year, John?
I believe we were, yes.
And, you know, the deja vu is Cincinnati gave us a beatdown and then we went on a run.
Yes.
KC gave us a beatdown and we went on a run.
Yes.
That's my net. We got to stop doing that. We just need to win out and, you know, give the 72 Dolphins.
Or either that, when we need to know we got to go on a run, let's just get a beatdown.
Yeah, get another way, game one.
We need a run here, so I don't know. Maybe it's time for a beatdown. Actually, yeah. As it stands right now, I mean, you know it as well as I do, but, you know, coming back after the bye, playing at Indianapolis is going to be quite the task because the Colts can run it up and down the field, as you probably saw a little last night against the Giants. And because of that, now you don't want to ruin the advantage that you have over Denver. So you don't want to slip behind and ruin, you know, the tiebreaker that you've got.
No, and then you've got, on the back of that, you've got the Packers and the Lions as well in
right.
that mix. It's not going to be an easy stretch by any means.
No, this is a hell of a next month. Honest to goodness, this is a hell of a next month. If they can get through this 3-1, I think everybody would be. I think you'd have to be very happy. 4-0 would be beyond belief almost. But 3-1, maybe even 2-2 is more likely. But if you're 2-2, it still leaves you in line at 12-4 if you can win out, and that won't be easy because you still have to play Miami. You still got to play Buffalo. And you got to play at New York. I hate to put it that far on the line, but 12-4 could still get you a bye. Could get you
yeah,
a bye.
But rather not be even thinking about that. And with the way Miami and the Bulls are playing,
that's why I think you got to shoot for 3-1 somehow in the next four. And that's going to be really hard to do when three of those four are on the road.
That's definitely not a fit of complete by any stretch. But my midseason MVP would have to be Inkredelman. Julian has, you know, carried the team prior to Gronk's return, and just, you know, the game on Sunday was lights out. I mean, basically, he had a quarter where it was basically the his show.
That's a good one. That's a good one. That's a real good one. I think Julian Edelman is definitely worthy of midseason MVP for the Patriots' consideration because he's been largely a constant the entire year. And, Steve, you must have been listening to me off the top of the program today because one of the things that I said was bound to be a couple of players out there who have done it from day one, even when this team was struggling, and they were largely responsible for keeping this team afloat. Edelman is one of those guys. So that's a good job out of you.
Yep, and looking ahead, it's just, you know, it's definitely one game at a time. I'm glad for the bye. And the fact that this year, the difference, John, is the team is relatively healthy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've lost, you know, the two players, you know, to IR, and then you're going to get another player back. We would hope in the next week or two in Silver Salinga. So, you know, that will certainly help solidify the middle of the defense. Although I thought that was one of the great things that I thought about Sunday's game was is how the middle performed even when they had the lighter box. You know, they weren't putting 7 or 8 in the box a lot because they were trying to disguise all of the coverage looks for Peyton Manning. So you didn't know what you were going to get. And the Patriots, I thought, did a great job on the line of scrimmage, you know, jamming it up and not, you know, giving the Bronco backs creases to get through. That's as well a played defensive game in the trenches as I've seen the Patriots play in a long time.
Yeah, and as far as the jumbo package, let Devlin Weed block for Gronk.
Yeah.
do the 85 Bears at the fridge running the ball.
I agree. I think that'd be a good one. I think we ought to see that. That'd be a lot of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, 3-4 yards, I mean, it's almost guaranteed. If Gronk is falling forward, you know, that's 4 or 5 yards easily just given his size.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. Not exactly a gauntlet I would want to run, that's for sure.
Yeah, I know the lines are packed, John, so I'm gonna go, my friend, and I'll catch up to you later.
Thank you, sir. Stephen Killeen. Next up is Matt in Watertown, Mass. Hello, Matt. You're in the playbook.
Hey, what's up, John?
Hey, Matt.
So I'll start with my nitpicks.
Go.
I was at the game on Sunday. It was my first game in Foxborough, but was that you as the announcer in the stadium?
I've been doing that for 22 years, my friend.
Man, I think you did a good job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's your first time to go to a game?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, congratulations, and welcome to the club. It's kind of like joining the Mile High Club, don't you think?
And what a game it was. Oh, man. For a first game, I expected, you know, nothing less than what it turned out to be.
So. Yeah, pretty exciting stuff. You debuted with a really good one. I'll give you that.
It is another.
Yeah, well, see, you know, now everybody in the, around the league has stolen that stuff. We should have, Kevin, we should have patented that. We'd be rich now. We wouldn't be having to work here. Well, yeah, we'd probably still be working here, but at least we'd be richer. Go ahead, Matt.
All right. Well, my two new picks, I think you already hit the nail on the coffin. Of course, it was the penalties. I think it was about how many penalties did we get? 9, 10?
We had 9.
Something like that. I think 3 or 4 of them were from Brandon Browner, weren't they?
Yes, he had 3.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure you recall that one touchdown drive where Peyton Manning threw that 15-yard touchdown to Ronnie Hillman.
Yes.
There was like 3 penalties, but 2 by Browner and then 1 by, I think it was Jamie Collins for the pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
I think we basically gave them that touchdown on that drive.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could easily have been, they could have held them to a field goal. It could have been 17-43.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm remembering the instance you're talking about. It seemed like they were just playing a little soft, and I was a little surprised because at least in the trenches they looked to be a little bit more aggressive, and I thought they were a little bit passive in their plan of attack. But they did make some adjustments and weren't quite as soft after that. So they at least figured out how to shut them down when they had to.
Mm-hmm. And my second nitpick would, I think you already addressed this, is the drops. If Ben LaFell hadn't dropped the 2 catches, one at the, like, what was it, the 5-yard line and one in the end zone,
yeah,
we could have easily scored 55 plus 4.
Well, that was part of what Brady said after the game, Matt, when he said we left some points out there on the field.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. And it was upsetting. I mean, 43 is great. We pasted them, you know, but I still think it would have felt a little bit better with 50-plus points on the board.
Yep. Well, it's pretty amazing. Anytime you can throw up that kind of points on the board, I mean, they've scored now, you know, what is it, 43 and 94 points in 2 weeks. I mean, you really don't have a heck of a lot to nitpick. But the scary part is that, you know, you could have had a heck of a lot more if you're not committing self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah. And John, especially against the Broncos, coming into this game, they were the most balanced team, most dominating team in the NFL on both sides of the ball.
Uh-huh.
They were unstoppable. And then they come into Foxborough, and, you know, on the offensive side, Wes Welker, basically a non-factor. Julius Thomas caught a touchdown, you know, not really a factor in the game. And then you had Sanders and Demaryius Thomas racking up 120-plus yards, but, you know, that was all garbage yards anyway after the fact. And then on the opposite side, we pretty much contained that pass rushing duo. That, wouldn't you say that, John? I mean, for most of the game, that one sack that they got, it wasn't really a sack per se. Do you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I'd go along, sure. Right, yeah. I see what you're saying. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think, and I don't know if you recall, John, that DeMarcus Ware, in his post-game interview, he said something like, oh, I don't think he had our number at all. I don't think Brady had our number at all. And he did. He did. He picked apart that defense like nothing, and we racked up 43 points.
Well, I think for some reason or another, I don't know whether it's a respect factor or what, but somehow, you know, those Jack Del Rio defenses just can't figure out Tom Brady. He's like now 9-1 against a Jack Del Rio defense. I mean, come on, you know, try something different against the guy because he's going to rip you apart, and he's done it again. And that's kind of part of the reason why I picked the Patriots to win the game. I'm thinking, you know, all right, if Brady's on his game, and they needed him to be on his game, and he was, but if he's on his game, I kind of like that matchup. I just don't think Del Rio knows how to defense the guy.
Yeah, I actually had the Patriots in a loss. I picked up 38-31.
A lot of other people did too, Matt. A lot of other people did too.
At least by one touchdown, but when I went into the game, I was just like, you know, touchdown, field goal, touchdown.
Yeah, right.
It was just amazing.
Right.
It was amazing to watch. And, you know, I think that it was a dominating win. I don't think the PFW guys got it right. This was no fluke. It's not like the, you know, this was the best team in the NFL, John.
Yeah, well, I totally know what you're saying. What about your midseason MVP, Matt?
Oh, yeah. Mike Reese got it right.
He likes Gronk, yeah?
Rob Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. I think Dan Wetzel for Yahoo, I think he's an NFL column
yep.
writer.
Yep.
He said that Rob Gronkowski is probably one of the main keys for the Pats winning a Super Bowl this year. And I'll go even further than that, John. If Gronk stays healthy, I mean, because if you remember the past three seasons, he's either been hobbled by one injury or another, or he's been out. And mm-hmm. we were one hobbled ankle away from winning a Super Bowl in 2011.
Right.
And then the next year, he's injured again. And then the next year, oh, no, I'm sorry. And then last year, he was out.
Right.
So if he can stay healthy and this defense keeps playing lights out the way it is, I think we're looking at a Super Bowl this year, John.
Well,
and I'll say that with a lot of confidence.
At least it's back in the discussion, Matt. That's good stuff. Thank you very much for the call. It's really the first time in a long time that I think anybody's been able to really say that about this football team, that, you know, the postseason or even a Super Bowl could still be very much a possibility and certainly come back into play. I don't think that's a stretch based on what we saw over the last few weeks, especially this last week against the Broncos. All right, and so he mentioned Rob Gronkowski, and Gronk would be my own choice for Patriot MVP right now because of the development that we've seen him back into the overall mix of the offense. How do you feel about that? Webradio at patriots.com, 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. So not only do we have your nitpicks, but who's your Patriot midseason MVP? More on that coming up, plus Eric Friends, who covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com. He joins us in hour number two right here in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, where Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
The Patriots playbook on a hashtag nitpick Tuesday, but still recapping, revisiting, re-examining the 43-21 win over the Denver Broncos on Sunday here at Gillette Stadium that puts New England at 7-2, still firmly entrenched atop the AFC East as the Patriots go into their bye week, and undoubtedly every bye week is a badly, sorely needed bye week, emphasis on the word sore. Eric Frenz covers the Patriots and the AFC East for Boston.com. He joins us usually on Tuesdays here in the playbook, and he's with us right now. Eric, how goes the battle today?
It's going well, John. How are you doing?
Great. Super. Kind of seems almost silly, doesn't it, to talk about nitpicks and things like that after a 22-point win over a team that everybody thought was the best in the NFL, doesn't it?
It does, but I'm sure Bill Belichick will find a few. And if I had to think of one or a couple, I would just say that they, you know, obviously giving up 438 yards to Peyton Manning, you never want to give up that much yardage, but most of that obviously came in garbage time. And in the same breath, I would say that there's no doubt in my mind that the secondary was the reason that they won that game. So I wouldn't really look too much into the yardage. I would have liked them to get more pressure on Peyton Manning. But other than that, I mean, pretty much everything went about as well as it could have for the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah, that was my third nitpick this week as well. My first one was the penalties. My third one happened to be, you know, I really realize this is probably superfluous because you're right. The secondary was largely the reason that they won the game, or certainly was a big part of their winning the game because of the disguising of the coverages, you know, the ins and the outs and the switching and, you know, moving from zone to press coverage to man to matchups. I mean, to swapping sides of the field. Almost every down, there was a different look out there, and all of that was contributing to the overall factor. Nevertheless, the pass rush, you know, you'd like to get a little more pressure, and even though a lot of it was in garbage time, 438 yards is a lot to give up.
It is, and, I mean, I would say, you know, you mentioned the disguising of the coverages, and that was something that I wrote about headed into the game, and certainly that played a big part in it, but I would just say also the physical play from that whole group, I mean, especially guys like Brandon Browner and Patrick Chung, who, I mean, for Patrick Chung and for what he's done since he came back to New England, he's a whole different player from what he was his first time around. And I think, you know, his play against Welker in the slot, I mean, Julius Thomas wasn't as good of a matchup for him, but he did as well as you could probably expect him to do in those matchups. Brandon Browner moving all over the place, playing linebacker some on Sunday. It was pretty interesting to see him in a two-point stance behind Vince Wilfork a couple of times, but certainly a good game for him as well. And just like I mentioned, you know, the physicality from that group, getting those guys off of their routes, throwing off timing between Peyton Manning and the receivers, I think that played a huge part in the Patriots' win on Sunday.
And you just touched on it, but one of the pleasant surprises, I think, not only from last week, but for the entire season out of that secondary is Patrick Chung. I mean, he has learned how to cover, which is shocking. That was his Achilles heel. I mean, he could always bring the thump a little bit, but he was getting killed in coverage, and that was part of the reason why he became superfluous, I think, in Philadelphia when he left here off of his first contract. But, you know, now his coverage ability seems to have found a new home. He's found a new talent.
Yeah, it certainly has. And, I mean, I think, you know, one thing that happened in his first go-around in New England was, you know, he was kind of miscast a little bit, and they put him in deep coverage a lot. They had him running all over the place, and, you know, he doesn't have awful speed, but he doesn't have the top-end speed that you would really like in deep coverage. He's been good in that area this season. One of his bigger problems the first time around was just his bad angles. A lot of times you would see him go after the ball carrier and mm-hmm. take a bad angle and let the guy get behind him. That hasn't happened much this year. He's been a force in run defense, like you mentioned. And really, I mean, overall, I mentioned that they have had, that he had some trouble in deep coverage the first time around, but overall, that defense this season, they hadn't given up a 40-yard pass against them through the first eight games of the season. Finally gave up one to Demaryius Thomas in the fourth quarter of the previous game. So, you know, they've finally gotten, you know, they finally gave one up, but I would venture to guess nobody's given up a 42, or they haven't given up a single 42-yarder, and nobody ranks in that category. But in any event, I would say, you know, just that group overall has played so well. Patrick Chung has been a key part of that, too.
You know, we mentioned the 438 yards that Manning threw. You know, Emmanuel Sanders had a pretty good day statistically as well, but I would also argue that Sanders didn't see the same consistent look. I mean, sometimes it was Revis, sometimes it was Browner, sometimes it was somebody else on him, and, you know, he caught some balls, but the Patriots didn't really set out to shut any one player down, with the exception perhaps of Julius Thomas.
Yeah, and they really did, like you said, you know, they spun the dial pretty repeatedly and just, you know, not giving Manning the same looks, not necessarily from play to play, but from drive to drive. And they, you know, they just wanted to, you know, Kyle Arrington mentioned it after the game, they just wanted to hold their water, really. It was kind of a situation where they were, you know, they were holding their looks and they were trying their best to, you know, keep Manning from diagnosing what he was seeing each time around, and they did a really good job of that on Sunday.
Yeah, they sure did. So, and then on the offensive side of the football, I mean, Rob Gronkowski continues to be Gronk, and the catch that he had that was ruled down at the one, fortunately for him, he was able to, you know, get the benefit of the touchdown on the next play, and it was only fitting, I think. But at the same time, it's almost to the point now where it's getting scary good. His upward learning curve and his getting back into shape curve is astronomically off the charts right now.
It is, and I think one thing that sticks out with me for Gronkowski is just the fact that he's playing this physical style of play. You know, 12 months ago, he had been drilled in the knee and his season was over, and a lot of guys would have some doubts about playing that physically, you know, in their, when they come back to the field, but Gronkowski does not seem to have let that impact him at all. And just the fact that, you know, all for as much talk as he's gotten about being injury prone, the fact that he's taken so many big hits, I mean, how many of them did he take this past week? How many of them has he taken over the course of the season? He takes these huge hits and he just keeps rumbling right through them. I mean, for all the talk that there was this offseason about how injury prone he was, you would think that the first one would have sent him to the turf and he would have been done for the season. So I just feel like, you know, he's doing, I mean, obviously, you know, coming quickly off the ACL has been huge, but I just think, you know, his ability right now to kind of myth-bust, so to speak, has been unreal in my opinion.
I'm glad you brought up the topic of big hits. Would you call T.J. Ward a dirty player after his first attempt to tackle on Gronk? He was able to spin out of and not take a direct hit on the knee, but it certainly looked like he was going low on Gronk.
It definitely did. And, I mean, you know, we always talk about the fact that the way that the rules are officiated right now, you kind of have no choice but to, you know, target lower on the body. But I feel like, you know, what Ward did on that first play specifically, you know, he sees Gronkowski coming at him, squares up, lowers himself, and then lunges at the knee. I thought that was, I mean, I don't want to say dirty because I wasn't, you know, I'm not him. I don't know if he was intending to do that, but it sure looked like it to me. And I think, you know, the fact that he got up afterwards and clapped pretty ferociously at himself, it seemed, was certainly an indication that he was going for it. And, you know, just the fact that it happened last year in the same stadium to the same guy with the same guy, I think it all, you know, it looks pretty bad on paper. Whether he was actually intending to injure Gronkowski, I won't go that far, but certainly, you know, the circumstances add up and it does not look good for him.
All I'm going to say is what goes around comes around. So, and usually it has a way of whipping back around in the NFL in a hurry. Eric Friends covers the AFC East of the Patriots for Boston.com with us here in the playbook. All right, so now at the midway point of the season, technically, because the Patriots are in the bye week this week, Eric, question that I kind of thrown out to our fans today and one that I'd like to pose to you has to do with MVPs. Not so much the NFL MVP, but I think there are several candidates for Patriots mid-season MVP. Can you pick one?
Well, I mean, we just talked about one of them. I would say Gronkowski's got to be on the list somewhere, but I mean, I don't know that you can really, it's a chicken or the egg debate over whether Gronkowski or Brady is the reason for the success. I mean, Brady's been successful for so long, so I would obviously have to say that he's probably their most valuable player at this point, but I feel, you know, those two on the offensive side, on defense, I mean, it would probably be cliche to say Darrell Revis, but I'll go that direction anyway. I just feel the coverage that he's provided has really helped that whole group, you know, kind of galvanize and turn into what has been one of the best pass defenses in the entire NFL this season. So I feel like, you know, it may seem kind of cliche to go with Brady and Revis as the MVPs, but that's the direction I'll go right now.
All right, and I think that's a fair assessment and kind of played right down the middle like any good journalist should. So that's a good job out of you. Now, entering into the bye week here, where do we stand in terms of Silver Salinga, his possible return to the team? I know it's got to be imminent because he was on the IR designated to return list. So, is that in effect coming up within the next week or so?
Well, it's an 8-game ruling in terms of how long the players have to be on that list before they can come off of it. And I think Salinga's been off the field for 6 games.
Okay.
So he could probably come back week 13 or so. I would say, you know, actually we saw him today in the locker room. I don't know what that means, if anything, but he didn't talk to anybody from what I could tell. So I don't know that there's any indication whether he'll come back immediately off of the IR or whether it'll take a couple of extra weeks. But I do think that, you know, him being around and him getting back onto the field would be a huge turn for the defense, just in terms of, you know, they've been had in the running game over the first, you know, couple of months of the season. At times they've gotten better in that area, and they made some additions with Alan Branch and the linebackers that they added, but they could use anybody they can get, I think, at this point.
Yeah, that was one of the pleasant surprises, I thought, for Sunday's game, was the way that the defensive line was able to fill in the gaps, and with the way they were changing things out so much in the linebacking core in the secondary, it was amazing they were able to stop the run as much as they were. So safe to say that he could certainly be back by the end of this month, correct?
Yeah, he could be. I mean, I don't know the severity of his injury or what or any details of it, but I would say, yeah, he could definitely be back by the end of the month.
All right, so with the way that this schedule now plays out, you know, and you've got 3 of the next 4 on the road, even though the San Diego game, and I mentioned this earlier, doesn't look quite like the serious gauntlet that it might have been, say, a couple of weeks ago. Nevertheless, you still got to go on the road. You still got to go to the other side of the country to go play this game. Out of the next 4, what do you feel like is going to be the toughest?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I would want to say the Packers, just because Aaron Rodgers and that offense can really do some damage, and they have a good running back in Eddie Lacy. They haven't been very consistent or successful on the ground this season, but you know, they have the personnel to get it done. So it would be interesting, but I think the defense, I mean, I'm not convinced that group can really hold it together. So it'll be interesting, but I also think, you know, I mean, the Chargers, they have a lot of weapons, and they have, you know, Brandon Oliver, who's been a real revelation for them for this season so far. So I do think that it looks to me like, I mean, those offenses have an ability to take advantage of the Patriots. But, I mean, the way this defense has been playing lately, I have a hard time saying that any of those teams are really a lock to beat the Patriots. And, I mean, I just look at that upcoming schedule and I see 4 teams that are very good, but none that have really proven that they're, you know, of an elite caliber this season. So I have a feeling that it could be, you know, it could be a tight stretch, but there could be a couple of close games. But I think the Patriots could come out of this stretch at 3-1 or maybe even 4-0.
That would be significant if they could do that. Does this put then, with this win this last week, does this thrust the Patriots back into a, shall we say, favorite role for getting back to the big game in Arizona in February?
Interesting you ask, because when you first brought me in, you had mentioned that they are firmly entrenched as the number one team in the AFC, and I wrote that down because I wanted to get back to it. And I wouldn't say that they're firmly entrenched as the number one team in the AFC. I mean, they're 7-2. Broncos have the same record. The Patriots right now hold the tiebreaker for the number one seed if it came down to that. But it's a long season. There's still 7 games left for both teams. So, I mean, I think the Patriots have an ability to go the distance and make that stretch run that could put them into the number one spot, I think their margin for error is pretty small, though. The Broncos don't really have a tough schedule either. I could see them going down the stretch and losing maybe one or two games. So the Patriots really got to be on top of their game in November and December, and certainly they've done that in the past, and I mean they've been one of the better teams in football each of the past 4 years in the final 2 months of the season. I think they've lost maybe four games in the past four seasons in the final eight games of the season. So they've been really good down the stretch. I think the Patriots have the ability to claim that number one seed, but it's going to be tough.
Good stuff. Eric Friends, Boston.com. Eric, great to talk to you as always. We'll check in with you next week. Enjoy the week off.
Yeah, right? I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself in the Patriots football this weekend, but thanks a lot, John. Good talking to you.
All right, you got it, buddy. Thanks. Eric Friends, follow him on Boston.com. Let's get back to the telephones because we've got some very patient people waiting, and I got a ton of emails to get to. Want to get in as many thoughts as we humanly possibly can. We'll lead it off here with Jason in Georgia. Hey, Jason, you're in the playbook.
Hey, Rook.
How's it going, Jace?
This game, man, I couldn't. I never told you my prediction. We have prediction Thursdays. Mm-hmm. I keep those predictions to myself as, you know, just not to jinx the game. But I'm going to let it out. My prediction for this game was actually 45-14.
And you're going to release it now after the fact, right?
Yeah, for a game like this, man. Like, for the first time, for I could remember, our defense swarmed. Like, it wasn't one person hitting the ball and there was five people 5 yards out. No, it was one person hitting the ball, mm-hmm. and then there was another person coming after that guy, and there was another person following that dude.
Sure, sure.
And it just all came together. Never have I seen such a glorious Manning face when he got intercepted and he just couldn't believe it. That was the hoodie. That was the hoodie coming all together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the defense should just be called the hoodie. We have so many tricks up our sleeves, and you don't know what's under the hood because we won't tell you it until we want to tell you it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's actually not too bad. That's actually not bad at all. The hoodie defense, I like it.
Yeah, also, my nitpicks were obviously the penalties. That one drive that they got to Hillman and caught a pass from Peyton Manning. I was in the Patriots live chat and I was like telling Fred, like, no mental errors.
It's right.
Mental errors in a row.
Honestly, Jason, that's what scares me the most about this team getting through this next month cleanly. Is the fact that the mistakes are going to come back and bite them really hard somewhere, you know, if they get in a close game, because you know how things are on the road, especially.
Yeah.
And, you know, at Green Bay really, you know, concerns me. At Indy concerns me because of their proclivity to put up points.
Yeah, those are the two games I'm concerned right now to tell me how good the Patriots will be in the later stretch of the year, in the playoff season, if they beat Indy at Indy and then, you know, hold off the Packers at the Packers.
Yeah, I think that would be huge. The Indy game in 2 weeks could end up being a pinball match, like, you know, 50 to 40 something. It could end up being like that because I just don't know, you know, if either team can stop the other.
Yeah, because, what is it, Andrew Luck just never gives up.
No, he's a stud. He's absolutely a stud. But he's also sometimes, I think, a little impatient. We'll jump, obviously, a lot more into that next week. But, it'll be a fun one to watch, without a doubt.
Yeah, also, Brady, Green, they need to fix this little misconnection that they keep having. Some of the bad passes were obviously forced by, like, Von Miller or DeMarcus Ware coming off the edge and jumping up.
Yeah.
But some passes were just like, do you know what you're supposed to move to? Because I'm not sure what you guys know what you're doing here for a second.
Yeah.
And those deep passes to LaFell and the drops, they need to be cleaned up.
Well, that, you know, I would blame at least on the two long passes that were, you know, close misses, might have been attributable to the wind.
I'd rather see one out of two.
Sure, sure. Like, I get you.
In the Tim's game.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah, what else? There was something else I was thinking of. Hold on. It's in my head real quick. Aaron Dobson, that's it.
What about him?
I kind of feel like they're holding him back on purpose. Like he's doing well in practice, but they're holding him back because, you know, he missed the offseason.
I don't know that they're holding him back, Jason, is that, you know, right now he's just not able to beat anybody out in practice.
Yeah, but if he was, who would he take?
That's just it. He's not. And that's why he hasn't taken anybody's spot. People keep saying, well, where's Aaron Dobson? Where's Aaron Dobson? There's not a spot right now because he's not playing as well as the other guys. So at least give the Patriots some credit for recognizing that, hey, these other guys right now are performing and playing better.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if he was playing at the level of Timms or Brendan LaFell,
then he'd be in there.
You would?
Yeah, if he was at their level, he'd be in there. I'm convinced of that. This team doesn't care who's in there. They're going to take the guys who deserve to be in there, period.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right.
So whether or not he was a draft pick or not makes no difference. And I think that's you know, another fault with the whole, you know, evaluation prospect of some of these, you know, players that, you know, they've fallen short on. You know, they'll take, you know, a guy that they think, and then the guy comes in and doesn't perform. And so it ends up making them look bad because they are very, very good at finding the diamonds in the rough. So the more polished players don't come in and perform as they hope they do, the diamonds in the rough come in and absolutely outwork the other guys. And I think that's what's happening in Aaron Dobson's case.
Okay. All right. I see. Also, my midseason MVP, I couldn't choose on one. I have four, really.
Well, give me your first. Give me your first
obviously,
one.
Obviously, Rob Gronkowski. Like,
okay.
Can you?
But who are your honorable mentions?
Julian Edelman.
Yep.
Rob Ninkovich.
Yep.
And here's a twist, Dante Hightower.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one, Jason. I wasn't sure he was going to get any run at all, but I actually think that's a pretty good one, and thanks for the phone call. Because, you know, here's a guy that, even though he missed a little time earlier in the year with the injury, he's had to come in, was thrust right back into an immediate, you know, oh, you got to help us roll because of the injury to Gerard Mayo. And not as he come in and played better before that, because last year one of the big nitpicks we had with Hightower is what he couldn't cover squat coming out, you know, of the other team's offensive backfield. Not only has he improved his coverage skills, but now he's much more assertive in terms of his play calling and where he's got to be. And you know, I certainly think that Hightower deserves some mention there. That's a good pickup by you. Here's Dave in Connecticut. Dave, you're up next in the playbook. Hey, Dave. Well, Dave's not there, so I'm going to put him on hold, and we'll see if we can get him back. Let's go with Gary in Ohio up next in the playbook. Hey,
hey,
Gary.
John, how are you?
Good, sir.
Hey, John, how are you?
Great.
What a win.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to the Indianapolis game next week, so I'm excited about that.
Outstanding. Well, we'll need to make sure we check in with you next week, too, at some point.
Yeah, we'll do that. I tell you, the MVP, you know, I'm going to have to put three out there. I'm going to say Brady.
Okay.
I'm going to say Gronk. But then I'm going to say Wilfork.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think of all these new guys that come in our system, somebody's having to be coaching these guys up. And everybody, that's who they point to, Wilfork. Wilfork, he's our coach. You know what I'm saying as far as a player coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't disagree at all. I mean, there's really not a wrong answer here, Gary. But Vince has been, you know, he's been the stalwart of the defense. He's been there all season long. He's been there through thick and thin. You know, he's made plays when he's had to. He's led by example. I mean, even when he's had a couple of bad games, you know, he's taken a lot of the responsibility on his shoulders. I mean, he's been a real strong, constant factor in the middle of that defense when they've had, you know, some things go wrong this year. And so, you know, if the defense is improving, he certainly should get some of that credit.
Yeah, now how do you think – I heard somebody call earlier and they were talking about how if we wouldn't have gave up the Brandon Brown, or if he wouldn't have gave up that pass interference and Jamie Collins, they wouldn't have scored. But you know what? I think if Brandon Browner wasn't playing as aggressive as he's playing, we wouldn't have won that game.
Because well, you can
almost like watch the Seattle defense out there.
Yeah,
we
you
dominated them.
You can make that argument. I know I understood the original premise, but you could certainly make an argument the other way as well. And that's really the kind of player Brandon Browner is. And he mentioned that today, you know, here at the stadium as well, you know, to some of the reporters who were talking to him. Like, you know, he was brought here for one specific reason, and that was to set a tone and set an attitude. He wanted the Patriots wanted this defense to be more aggressive in principle and in thought, as opposed to, you know, in actual practicality. And so bringing in a guy like Revis and a guy like Browner going to change a little attitude, especially back there with the defense.
Well, you look at these little guys like T.Y. Hilton. When they're going to come across the middle, they're going to watch that game tape. and they're going to see that hit McCourty put on Welker, and they're going to say, ouch.
Yeah.
And that's the defense that we're starting to get. That back end, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that McCourty was back there basically, you know, in deep receive almost on defense, not letting anybody get by him, and he did put the hat on a couple of guys, especially Welker.
Well, yeah, we need the enforcer in the backfield. That's sure. We need it. But nobody could have told me going into the game it would have turned out like that. Wow, was I happy.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, it was a great game. Good talking to you. I'll talk to you next week, John.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that. Darius in Wisconsin up next in the playbook. Hey, Darius.
How are you guys? How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Overall, I'm very happy about the way we came out and performed.
Yep.
Just a couple quick pointers. For a Peyton Manning-led team, on third, I thought this was key, and I was watching this throughout the entire game, and I'm wondering, this defense on third down for Peyton Manning, he was 3-11 on third down, and for fourth down, he tried four times and connected zero.
Correct.
We're talking Peyton Manning here.
Correct.
If this defense can do this to Peyton Manning, I don't care about Aaron Rodgers, because who are you going to throw it to? I mean, you were scared to throw it against Richard Sherman. We have Revis.
Yeah.
So, therefore, I'm not really too worried about Green Bay. I look at the schedule. I see the Colts, they're going to be good because they have a lot of weapons. But then again, I look at what Bill does to Peyton.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, if Bill can get under Peyton's skin, I know he can get Andrew Luck, because Luck's not as, you know, polished as Peyton.
Well, yeah, I would say that you can, but again, let's consider, you know, the people that these guys are going to be throwing to, Rodgers especially, and you got the home field advantage and all that. That'll still be a factor, and it's even more so, I think, in the Dome with the Colts coming up in 2 weeks. T.Y. Hilton is a premier receiver in this league. He was last year when the Patriots played him here, and he will be especially when they're playing him in the Dome next week.
True. Another quick point I had was the for the MVP.
Yes, sir.
Ninkovic.
Okay, that's a good one.
He is now, to me, from what I've seen, he is exactly the number that he's wearing, and that's Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
He is so interchangeable on the defense, exactly how Vrabel was.
Right.
Back in those glory days, and that I think he really gets undervalued, and people don't pay attention enough to what Rob Ninkovic does. This guy, they said, I think the stat was since 2012, he's recovered the most fumbles in the NFL.
Yep, that's right.
This is insane. This guy, he just looks like Vrabel out there when he's playing.
He makes plays, and we have, you know, made that analogy over the last few weeks. That has kind of snuck in there time and time again, and I think it's great that you bring it up, because I think his play is reminiscent very much to a lot of people of the way Vrabel was able to just make plays during the, you know, the 3 out of 4 year Super Bowl run back in the early part of the 2000s.
Right. One more quick point, guys.
Yes, sir.
And I'll let you go. I called you guys earlier in the year when we first got Revis.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, do you guys think we should go and get Brandon Browner? And the first thing I got was, no, he's the 4-game suspension, and he's a, you know, kind of iffy. And look what he does to Julius Thomas in the first half. Oh, my goodness. I think the only catch that Julius Thomas ended up with 2 catches, and the only catch that he had was the one that he caught for a touchdown, which was on Patrick Chung.
Mm-hmm.
He completed it. It was Seattle-esque.
Yeah.
That's what he brought from Seattle, of punching them in the mouth for the entire first half. To me, the game was over in the first half 27-7, because I just can't fathom this defense giving up all those points to Peyton Manning. No, not this defense. Maybe a couple years ago, because we didn't have the personnel. The corners were, you know, in and out. But look at it.
Yeah.
We played without probably our best nickel corner, with it, which is Dennard, mm-hmm. who was a healthy scratch.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me that without Dennard, we're beating Denver? So next we'll put Dennard in if we play them in the playoffs?
Right.
This defense, I understand what the offense is doing, but this defense is on a path to win us a Super Bowl. this defense is. Not the offense, the defense.
Can't argue with that, Darius. Hard to argue with anything you said there. That's good stuff. Going to pause here for another quick break. Then we got a lot of emails, more phone calls to jump into. A couple of tweets here as well. Simon says, my nitpick is the amount of drop passes. As Bill said, they left a lot of points on the field. Brady also said that as well. But Simon, you know, that was my nitpick number two on the column earlier today was the drop passes. There were still three in total. Don't drop those. You put more points up on the board. And when it comes down to playing these games on the road over the course of the next month, you really can't squander scoring chances. It's huge. Let's see. This one comes from Vermont. I wrote into the post-game, well, I think pre-game show. What's PPGS? Is that post or pre? That's pre, isn't it? I think so. I sent you an email, so check it out. I've never called into any of the Patriots podcasts. Oh, it's Brian in Essex, Vermont. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate that. I'll try to find it if I can find it, you know, because a lot of times the emails get cleaned out over the weekend here. Let's see. Megan says, MVP Gronk. The offense rides with Gronk. The healthier he's been, the better the team is. Chanel also agrees via Twitter. Gronk, he's just a beast that opens up the rest of the field. Good point, by the way. Good stuff right there by everyone. Keep them coming. At JR Broadcaster, that's the Twitter handle, so jump on board. John.Rook on Facebook. And you've got 855-PATS-500. You've also got web radio at patriots.com. Coming right back in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of Domino's. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Delay of the game. First 5-yard penalty. Still third down.
Get jacked up. That's what we need. Lots of noise. It's got that playoff feel. This place is amped.
Peyton throws it across the middle. Picked up by Ninkovich. Runs it back right to the 40. Robbed to the 35. Tripped up and brought down at the 34-yard line.
You know, it's a hard team to stop. A great offensive team. Great quarterback. They're well coached. You know, you've got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight.
Rob is spun down by T.J. Ward.
Cheap shot by a dirty player again. T.J. Ward goes right for the knee. Helmet on the knee. That should be 15, and they should be talking to that guy right now. That's a dirty play.
Tom in the pocket. Pumps. Throws to the end zone. Sliding catch. Edelman. Touchdown. Patriots in front of T.J. Ward. A line drive sailing toward Edelman from the 16. Runs to the right. Julian gets outside of the 30. Edelman on the right side line 40. Edelman to midfield. A block in the lead the way to the 40 of Denver. Cutting left to the 30. Only the punter to beat to the 10. To the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots.
You know, Minitron, he's so quick, and what he did on the punt return was incredible. And then he comes out there, receiver, and makes a bunch of plays, so.
Fourth and six coming up. Peyton takes the snap. Crusher, yeah. He goes down. And it's Akeem Ayers with a sack at the 44. Snap to Manning from the pistol to play pick. He throws down the right side for Welker. It's bobbled and it's picked off by Browner. Circles back to the right at the 40. Brandon on the right sideline across the 15. His first interception as a Patriot.
The turnovers, the fourth down stops on defense. You know, got to give our players a lot of credit for the way they competed out there tonight. And, you know, just hung in there, you know, series after series after series. And went toe-to-toe with that group.
Tom extends the hands, takes the snap. Play fake to Marine. Throws to LaFette. Touchdown, Patriot!
And Brady's out of control. He's insane on the sideline. He's taking what Gronkowski took last week.
Tom pumps. He throws down the middle for Gronkowski. Somehow makes the catch. Bringing it in with his left hand. An acrobatic play. Just shy of the goal line.
Are you kidding me?
What an amazing catch by Gronkowski with Ward in coverage.
That was one of the best catches I've ever seen. So don't get any better than that. I wish they'd have given him a touchdown. Then we came back on the next play and it was a little bit easier than the next one. But that was unbelievable.
On the right side, Brady's going to drop back. He's going to throw for Gronk. He's got a touchdown now as the Patriots expand their lead. 22 seconds and counting, and that's going to be the final play. The Patriots have the last word till they meet again. Patriots win it over the Broncos, 43-21.
Bam! So, way to go, Zell. All right, welcome back to the playbook. Good job, Kev, putting the highlights together from the big win over the Broncos here on Sunday. Back to the emails here. I got a ton of them to get to. I'll get to as many as I can. But as I always say, I do read them all. James says, drops. Wow, there were what seemed like tons of drops, maybe 8 actual incomplete passes from TB12, which is a continuous trend, it seems. They got to get that under control. He says, thanks, Messer Rook. And I appreciate that, James. Thank you. The drops, especially seem like the drops come in crucial, critical situations or money situations, you know. And if they wouldn't drop as many, then we could hear Zoe say, money, in the background maybe once or twice more during the course of the game. That's going to be a nitpick, you know. It's going to be. It's going to get there. Drew in Bowie says, John, love listening to you, the PFW guys, Gresham, Zoe, other Boston area media, though I live in Washington, D.C. As I mentioned last week, I attended the Chicago game at Foxborough and returned home on Monday. By that afternoon, the focus on the podcast and radio was on Denver. Down here, Washington's victory over Dallas was the focus through Friday. sharing some time with Robert Griffin possibly returning. No talk of Minnesota at all. I think the media and fan focus may be related to the team's outlook. Yeah, take a look at the results. Yeah, they lost to Minnesota, didn't they? Anyway, he says, nice to have something worthwhile to listen to. As far as your negativity goes, I don't see it. You're a realist with high standards for a good team, something that doesn't exist down here. And his nitpick, an inability to run. Thank you, Drew. Good stuff. Brian in Essex, Vermont, I found your email. He says, mea culpa, Rook. I wrote in the nitpick on Tuesday. They're not that good Wednesday, et cetera. That's the thing that the PFW guys were referring to. But they also didn't read the rest of the email where I said, I enjoyed your show. Naturally. See, these guys are only gonna accentuate the negative. If anybody's show around here is negative, it's those guys, not this guy. He says, it sometimes felt like a bit of a downer. That's all. If I hated it, I wouldn't listen. That's absolutely true. You know, you do have the option. You can always click off. You can always say, that's it. I've had enough. And I'm sure there have been plenty of people that have done that. He says, for me anyway, what I'd like to see a Nitpick Tuesday get half and half, where we have games like the Bears, the Broncos, and, you know, as much time talking about the good as talking about when they're where they can pick it up. Brian, that's a great point, and that's why I'll be honest with you. Last few years, and I think you've been around longer than just a couple of years, so you probably remember this. Maybe I just need to jar your memory a little bit. But one of the things we did on Nitpick Tuesdays was for every nitpick that I offered, I would follow with a superlative. And then I would throw out another nitpick, and then I would throw another big-time stat that maybe you might have missed, or another performance that maybe went under the radar. And I'll be honest, I haven't done that as much this year. And so you actually bring out a very good point. What I'll try to do, and because you suggested it, what I'll try to do is we'll continue with more of the, you know, all right, for every nitpick we give out, we try to also come up with a superlative while things are going well. Early in the year, when this team got out to the 2-2 start and then got bludgeoned by Kansas City, it wasn't a whole lot of superlative going on there. And there was an overall malaise about the team where it just really didn't seem like it was any good, and we all got on the beatdown routine. But now that things are clearly going in the different direction with five straight wins, you know, maybe we do need to point out some of the things. Part of the reason today why we are talking about midseason MVPs for this team. So I kind of picked up a little on that, Brian, but your point is well taken, and we'll try to include that a little bit more here. But he says, hey, you're the one getting paid for this, so my take is fairly irrelevant. Anyway, not going to stop listening just because sometimes I come away feeling down about the team. Maybe I'm down because there's more truth to what you're saying than I'm willing to admit. It's a good point by you. Plus, let's face it, my breakdown of the titles of the show is kind of funny because we all laughed. That is very true. That's good stuff, Brian. Thank you for your time and your attention. Timothy says, in Pennsylvania, great win. I was shocked with the difference in the score. My nitpick would be Shane Vereen and Browner. I was really on Shane. He hasn't done much since the Jets game. I thought he would produce more of a run. As far as Browner, just the penalties, but that's Browner, and I'll take the penalties for his style of play as long as they don't cost us the game. Okay. Chad says, John, I've always thought you and your show was the more positive of the Patriots podcast shows. I think some listeners are confusing your subjective topics on Brady and his poor play at the beginning of the season to be negative. So my nitpick is, leave John alone. Thank you, Chad. Now, what a win. But I got to ask, is it just me, or was that touchdown to Edelman one of the fastest throws Brady has ever launched? What a rocket. With every game, it seems like TB12 is gaining more and more confidence in himself and his newer receivers. And I said it last week, if the Pats went out, they will win it all. Thank you, Chad. Good points. Thanks for having the back. Austin in Toronto. John, I listen to the show all the time. No, you aren't negative at all. It's a case of fans being overly sensitive to the commentary after wins and losses. Let's face it, who's going to listen to the show if all you do is tout the team? There are issues every single week, and it creates good dialogue to outline these, so please keep doing what you're doing. Thank you, Austin. He says, now I will say Eric is always negative, and I don't care to listen to anything he says. Yeehaw, yeehaw. Eeyore, right? Or Squidward. I think I like Squidward better. Squidward's a little, yeah, Squidward. My nitpicks. Terrell Davis on the NFL Network still saying the AFC goes through Denver. Well, what do you expect him to say, Austin? Holy crap. He was a superstar for the Broncos. Of course he's going to say that. That one doesn't bug me at all. I get it. He's just being a homer. Now, if he really wants to fancy himself a true NFL analyst, well, then he's got to come off of that. and he's going to have to throw a little dirt on his team. I mean, Teddy Bruschi will still, I think, push comes to shove, he'll side with the Patriots, but he's getting closer to being more middle of the road, and that's something that, hey, if you're going to get in this business of an analyzation and predicting and all that kind of stuff, you have to be willing to go up against the team that paid you a ton of money in the past. Otherwise, you lose all credibility, and you're going to be thought of as nothing but a homer. Right now, that's all Terrell Davis is. That's part of the problem with the NFL Network, is some of the guys that they have. They're all homers. On the Pats side, pretty hard to critique after that game Sunday, though I wouldn't mind seeing Wright and Timms get more involved. Thank you, Austin. Our friend Howard in Stratford, Connecticut. I predict a 0-0 score for this coming week. What do I win? Oh, barunch. Very funny, Howard. As for nitpicking, I'm ecstatic over the outcome of the game this week. From the beginning of the year, everyone else does their analysis of the schedule, I picked this to be a potential loss. Note, I still picked the Pats this past week to win 38-34, but I did have some apprehensions going into the game. But I'll provide a few nitpicks. Good. I'm glad you did, Howard. One, run game needs to improve. We need to get better and more consistent production. Two, the pass rush needs to get there with only four rushers. Perhaps when Jones comes back, it improves. And number three, drop passes by wide receivers and running backs needs to stop. Bingo, bingo, and bingo. Those were pretty much mine as well, with the exception of the penalties that I talked about earlier today. What was great about this past weekend was they won and won handily and still haven't played their best ball on either side of the ball. If they clean up some of the negatives, just imagine how good this team can be. Here's to staying healthy the balance of the year. Thank you, Howard. Let's go to Tim. In Colorado Springs, says, John, I have a nitpick. This is something that drives me crazy. It's like fingernails across a blackboard. I can't explain why, but it drives me nuts. It's been suggested I'm just anal, but why can't the broadcasters or the guys in PFW pronounce Gostkowski's name correctly? Jim Nantz and Phil Simms absolutely drive me bonkers. I hear Gostkowski, and I go nuts. It's pronounced Gostkowski. No, it's not. The K is silent. Isn't it? No, actually, you pronounce everything.
You're the pro.
No. Wait a second. Tim, you're right. I had to sit here and think about it. It's Gostkowski. It's not Gostkowski. He's right about that. He's right about Nantz and Simms, because they do that. And people mostly think the K is silent. That's what I meant to say. People mostly think the K is silent. It's not. It's Gostkowski. You're supposed to pronounce everything. Gostkowski. Sometimes that's a little tough to do, but you pronounce everything, including all of the consonants in there. Anyway, aren't they supposed to be professionals, he says? Accurately pronouncing players' names would be part of their job responsibility? Yes, you're right, Tim. I love the show. Thanks for letting me voice my number one nitpick. Glad you brought it out. Gostkowski. Clay from Foster, Rhode Island. John, my nitpick isn't really with the Patriots. It's with everybody on the planet bashing Amendola for causing Brady's interception. The ball was tipped at the line. To blame Amendola for that is asinine. Fact is, I'd love to release the Amendola. The guy was lights out when he was in St. Louis. I truly believe he's just now becoming fully healed from his groin injury. Jeff in California. John, just wanted to say I personally appreciate your honest evaluation and constructive criticism on points that really need to be said on the Pats' performance. In terms of my nitpicks, I was a bit frustrated with the drops by LaFell and Vereen, and a lot of times on relatively easy catches. Vereen seems to turn his eyes upfield too early before he even has the ball and then drops it. That is a great pickup, Jeff. That's exactly what Vereen does. He turns upfield. Now, granted, I understand why, because the guy's got speed to burn coming out of the backfield, and there's usually somebody not on him when he's running that wheel route. You know, teams have learned now that you can get burned by Shane Vereen, but you're right. That's usually when he drops the ball, because he turns his eyes upfield a little early. Good pickup by you. Great win. Defense played the way I expected in the secondary. Front seven put pressure, stuffed the run. Loved Ayers' pressure and the interchanging blitzes from High and Collins. Thank you, Jeff. Paul in Portland, Oregon. Grew up in the Boston area. Totally agree. Nitpicking is East Coast style. Yeah, thanks for the backup, Paul. You got that right. We do it really well here in the East, more so than any other area of the country, without a doubt. Wish the Gronk catch was a touchdown. Obviously wasn't, but the catch was so spectacular it deserved to be. And, Paul, that's why Brady went right back to him again when he saw he was in one-on-one coverage with Von Miller. He's like, okay, there's nobody who's going to cost, you know, cover him one-on-one like that. So it was good that he went right back to him because he deserved a score there. Number two, wish LaFell caught at least one of those two deep balls. You know, I thought the one against the wind would probably have been caught. The one with the wind, I can understand. He didn't put quite enough air underneath it. The wind caught it. Just caught it. On a curious note, we know that Brady's record against Manning is now 11-5. I wonder what the sum total points are between the two over the course of all those games. Well, I'm sure some brilliant genius will do that ad. It ain't going to be me. Thank you, Paul. This one from Wally in Fort Lauderdale for MVP. He says, Ninkovich, in several exclamation points thereafter. So a second point for Rob Ninkovich for midseason Patriots MVP. Clay also says, my halfway MVP is Jules. The guy is irreplaceable. Okay. Let's see. Also, on here's another one from Paul, who says, on offense, Edelman, defense, Ninkovich. Well, got to pick one. So I'm going to give you your offense vote, and we'll go with Edelman on that one. Thank you, Paul. JR from Indy. Rook, great show. My nitpick would be Vereen and his sad consistently at dropping at the bubble pass. Two questions. Is this defense really as good as they looked, and would it be safe to hold this game as a standard for this defense? And do you think this offense can keep scoring like they have been throughout the rest of the season? Thanks so much for the great show. Keep it up, Mr. Negative. Thank you. Well, JR, I'll tell you, wow. Is the defense really as good as they look? I think they can get better. I think they can get better. You know, if and when Chandler Jones returns to the line, if and when you can get Silver Salinga, who will work into that tackle rotation in the middle, I think this defense can get better at stuffing the run, which is some things that you're going to really need to be able to do in the crunch time in December and in January. So I think it can get better, and I think the secondary is going to continue to improve. And, yeah, I think the secondary now is starting to play into the kind of secondary we thought we could have here before this season ever got started. I think that's a huge key. Offense keeping up the scoring? Absolutely. This team is juggernaut-like right now. I've used that adjective a couple of times, but, frankly, I don't think it's just throwing words around. I think this team is on a real roll like that. This one comes from Donnie, who is aboard the USS George Washington in Japan. John, since you only get one person, I got to go with offensive line coach Dave DeGuglielmo. The turnaround on the offensive line has to be the number one key to our success. Now they are far from perfect. When it starts up front, he's the common denominator. Whatever protection problems we had before has been patched up. The communication has been better, the blocking more sound, the holes in Chicago are nice to see. A huge reason Brady has thrown only one interception in the last five games. It's a line that has had some injuries, a rookie with the exit of a Pro Bowl talent. They've really turned it around. They give Brady a pocket that he may have to move around in, but there's still time and the space to move. That allows guys like Gronk, LaFell, Edelman to get open downfield. It was our number one problem in the first four games. We went after him for the poor play, but we have to give credit for the vast improvement. Outstanding job by you, Donnie, thank you very, very much for that, and thank you, sir, for your service on the USS George Washington, currently stationed in Natsugi, Japan. Thank you for that, and that's an outstanding email, and you're right. We have to give Coach Googs a little credit because we were ripping him apart in the opening month of the season, and now that the line doesn't seem to be near as much of a trouble, it's still rounding into shape. There's still improvement to be made, but he does get some credit here. That's a good job. Chris says, I'd like to nitpick how, as fans, we are overreacting to this game. Yes, the Patriots won. Yes, the defense stepped up. But really, Peyton was not typical Peyton Manning. Special team scores are few and far between. Welker was not the same as we've seen in New England. We did not get the best shot from Denver on Sunday. Denver is the more talented team on paper, and everyone that watches anything football knows if the road to the Super Bowl goes through Denver, you can likely kiss that Super Bowl goodbye. Denver stands a very good chance on their soft schedule to run the table. We need to at least tie to have home field. Denver plays at the Raiders, at the Rams, home against the Dolphins, at the Chiefs, home against the Bills, at the Chargers, at the Bengals, and then home against the Raiders. Well, that's a great comparison there, Chris, because the Patriots are at Colts, Lions, at Green Bay, at Chargers, Miami, at Jets, and the Bills. This is Chris in Hamilton, Ontario, not Chris in Denver. That's what we thought it might have been. But he's got a point. He's got a point. Denver's schedule's easier. Right now, Denver's schedule's easier. Michael says, John, my number one nitpick that I am most infuriated about is our pass rush. If we're not blitzing, we can't get there. There were several times, and Peyton had all day to stand back there and pass the ball. That shows how good our secondary is. All we need is a damn pass rush. It will be a complete defense. Patrick Chung completely surprised me, though. He's shown ability and skill, and Jonathan Casillas was a monster on special teams. My midseason MVP, Julian Edelman. Edelman gets another vote. Right now, I got a three-way tie between Brady, Edelman, and Gronk amongst our respondents here today inside the playbook. Pretty good. Let's see. John, after eating crow, this is from Todd, forgot his MVP. Eating crow affected my brain and forgot my MVP. I have to give my MVP to the entire staff because the Pats are growing in all phases of the game. All right, so another one to the coaching staff. We had one for Coach Googs and one for the coaching staff now. That's all right. Dave says, John, I think the popular pick for Pat's MVP is Brady. There's validity to the pick. He's endured the learning curve of his new receivers and tight end. He's publicly recognized the fact that he needs to be more mobile than he has. With plenty of success, he certainly has the numbers to be considered as the Pat's MVP. There are other folks that deserve the title, though. He mentions Edelman. He mentions Revis. But he says, overlooking over all the players, my ultimate pick is going to be Edelman. So Julian Edelman takes the lead. How about that? Really, Julian Edelman as the MVP. I'm a little surprised on that one. Dave says, I heard you mentioning Silver Salinga. What's the status of Chandler Jones? A chance he'll play against Indy? Doubtful, Dave. We don't really know because nobody's seen him, and he hasn't been in practice. Obviously, this is an off week for the team, so they're going to have a little extra time off and away from the facility this week. I think we can probably expect Jones back. And early in the program, we've talked about, you know, Salinga's potential return perhaps by the end of this month. My guess would be likewise for Jones. So as long as he's able, you know, to come back and get him back in some kind of game shape before the playoffs, I think you'd see him play in that December stretch run. So I think both players, they'll probably try to get through this gauntlet here over the next four games without both. That's just a guess. Just a guess. Jeff says, my midseason MVP is Brady. All right, well, there's another one for TB12. But I'll say two guys who have to mention are Wendell and Stork. Having them out there has given the line some solidity or solidarity. Since they came into the line, the Pats offense has been all but unstoppable. Okay. Mike in Maine. First, I never guessed the officials would allow the physical style of play that the Patriot back seven had on defense. My prediction was 45-44 Pats. Team MVP goes to Collins and Ninkovich for their heads-up play in our normally soft center belly. All right, he didn't pick one, but you mentioned Collins, so we'll give Collins the nod. And Flint says, great team win, loving that nearly everyone on the NFL Network picked Denver. Midseason MVP over the first eight games, it's tempting to say Gronk or maybe Incredelman, but I got to say Tom. I haven't heard that about Julian Edelman. Minitron has been the one nickname for Julian. Have you heard that one, Kev? Incredelman? No. Well, that's not bad. Honorable mention, he says Steven Gostkowski. Gostkowski! Correct. Good job. As for my nitpicks, penalties, dropped passes. Both things that we cannot, or both things we can control. That's got to be the focus. And then Joe says, well, we haven't seen this kind of physicality of the Patriots defense since the days of my all-time favorite Rodney Harrison. We've never lost Peyton with him to Peyton. We never lost Peyton with him on the field. He's going to vote for Browner for MVP. Let me get in a few Facebook posts here. Blarco in L.A. says, my MVP would be Gronk as well. So many times on a third and long, Brady looks for Gronk and he bails us out. My nitpick, leaving those points on the field for two games in a row. Edwin says, or this is Edwin in Vegas, midseason MVP, the PFW boys, Kevin behind the booth, and yourself. Thank you, Edwin. And he also says, and our offensive line. My nitpick Tuesday, although very entertaining, is when the field goal unit runs off the field to get the offense back on the field. The Zebras, by rule, have to let the opposing team's players back on before the ball can be snapped. Very, very true. Onique, John, great show as always. My nitpick is, of course, the penalties. They need to clean them up. My midseason Patriot MVP, Darrell Revis. He has been doing a great job locking up receivers after week, since week one, shoring up the back end of our D. Kareem says, midseason MVP, Julian Edelman. I'm keeping count here. Great win as per our Bill Belichick. He says, hashtag on to Indy. Benjamin, also on Facebook, wrote a bunch of good stuff in here. Let me see if I can get to it. My biggest question is play calling. Seems so different now than in the beginning of the year. Is it that Josh? Is it Tom? Is it Bill? Like, what or why does it seem to be working so much more now? I think Josh has frankly just simplified things, Ben. Really. I think he's just kind of simplified it, and he's figured out what will work and what this personnel package will play to. And I think he's calling more plays that these guys are suited to performing. Nothing more than that. As far as the MVP, he says Brady is the man. So I got Brady on that one. So it looks like in the unofficial count, in the unofficial count here as we wrap up the playbook today, Brady has a one-vote win over Edelman and two votes over Gronk. My pick was Gronk. Kevin, you didn't get a chance to pick your midseason MVP. Do you have one?
I'll go Gronk as well.
All right. Well, if you go Gronk, then that ties Gronk with Edelman, one vote behind Brady. So clearly it's kind of split between those three guys today. There's really no wrong answer here, but it's interesting to note that largely a lot of you, a lot of fans are thinking along the same way as I was. I understand why Brady would be the midseason team MVP. I understand why, as we mentioned off the top of the show, why the beat writers from around the league on ESPN.com picked Tom Brady as the league MVP, especially after watching his performance against Denver and Peyton Manning this past Sunday. But as far as this team, you know, there are others that deserve the mention. Gronk's improvement in coming back from his injury has certainly been a huge factor. But if you're looking for someone who's been there since from day one this year, hard to argue against Julian Edelman as well. Thank you, everybody, who took part in the program today, who figured out a way to come on in and contribute to the program. We had a ton of phone calls here. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more. Forgive me. Fantasy football guys, just because this guy's been waiting for over a half an hour. Umar in Provo, Utah, wanted to let you have the last word today here in the playbook. Umar, are you there? Hey, how's it going, buddy? Yeah. Thanks for hanging on.
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah, no problem. Are you happy?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're doing a lot better than 5 weeks ago, huh?
There's no doubt about that, brother. No doubt about that.
When you were talking about trading Brady and get rid of him,
well, I mean, you know, nobody's talking about trading and getting rid of him. I mean, you know, that wasn't even the argument weeks ago. The argument was he's not playing well. So if someone was going to make you an offer, would you consider it? And the answer to that was, at the time, yes.
Yeah, exactly. But people called us bandwagon fan, that we were not true Patriots fan, and that talking about bringing Jimmy Garoppolo or trading Brady because, yeah, he was really playing like crap.
Well, as were everybody else. But that's, you know, this was never an anti-Brady argument. Never. Ever. It's just not. I mean, you know, the guy's going to go into the Hall of Fame, and he's now more comfortable with his receivers, and he's performing. He's stepping up like he did, arguably, as well as he did back in 07. So, you know, it's hard to argue with what we're seeing on the field. But, you know, relative health has to stay with this team. If it does, then we have every reason to expect that we'll see more of the same.
Absolutely. Hopefully, let's pray to God that everyone stays healthy and that we have a good playoff campaign.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
Thanks, John.
Do you have a midseason MVP, Umar?
Yeah, well, I have to go for Gronkowski because, you know, he's a beast. I don't know what I'm talking about, but he's at least 50% of our offense.
Well, he certainly is the number one target for Brady, right? And his health has definitely coincided with the improved play by this offense. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Thank you for hanging on, and glad to have you on the program.
All right. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks. You too. All right. That will wrap it up, and we get off to the fantasy football champs. Thanks to Eric Friends from Boston.com for joining us, as he does in the playbook on Nitpick Tuesday. Kids, you're going to want to be here tomorrow. Tomorrow, we move from hashtag WTF Wednesday to hashtag Game Show Wednesday. Woo! We've got fabulous prizes to give away on this show tomorrow. If you have never tuned in for a Game Show Wednesday, we do this on the bye week every week. If the Patriots are fortunate enough to have a bye in the playoffs, we do it during that bye week as well. But we play game show style radio. You've got to call in to play. Unfortunately, we can't use emails. We can't use tweets. We can't use Facebook posts. You got to pick up the phone and do it old-fashioned sports talk radio style. So if you have some time, love to have you tomorrow. If you're listening to us on the podcast, if you can make an appointment listening tomorrow, love to have you on the show. One of these days we'll try to figure out a way to do it, but it's got to be over the phone tomorrow, so you want to tune in for that. Game Show Wednesday tomorrow right here in the Patriots Playbook.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.